Blood in the palace halls. In the dim corridors of ancient Jerusalem, where royal splendor hid deep cracks of human failure, a story unfolds that feels like it was pulled from a Gothic novel. This is not some distant tale from a dusty scroll. It is raw, painful, and full of warning. Today we step into the palace shadows and look at Amnon, Tamar, and Absalom, a trio caught in a web of lust, violation, silence, and bloody revenge. Through it all we see the cost of unchecked sin and the hope that only Christ can bring into broken families and broken hearts. The story begins with desire that twists into something evil. Amnon, one of King David's sons, becomes obsessed with his half-sister Tamar. She is beautiful, innocent, and living within the royal household. Instead of honoring her, Amnon lets his thoughts turn dark. He plots and schemes until he finds a way to get her alone. Under the pretense of illness, he lures her to his chamber. What follows is a violation that tears through the family like a storm. Tamar begs him not to do this wicked thing, but Amnon refuses to listen. He overpowers her and leaves her shattered. After the act, Amnon's so-called love turns to hatred, even stronger than the lust that came before. He throws Tamar out in disgrace. She tears her robe, puts ashes on her head, and walks away weeping. The palace that should have protected her becomes the place of her deepest wound. Absalom, her full brother, sees her pain and takes it into his own heart. He tells her to stay quiet for now, but inside he begins to burn with anger toward Amnon. For 2 years Absalom waits. He says nothing, but the resentment grows in the shadows. Then he sets a trap. He invites all the king's sons to a feast at his sheep-shearing event. When the wine flows and hearts are light, Absalom's servants strike. They kill Amnon in cold blood. The rest of the brothers flee in terror. News travels back to David, twisted at first, then clear. The royal family fractures even more. Absalom runs away, and for a long time the king mourns both the dead son and the living one who became a murderer. This Gothic tragedy shows how sin spreads when it is not confronted. David himself had failed earlier with his own moral collapse, and now the consequences echo through his house. The Bible does not hide these things. It shows us the mess so we can learn. Let us walk through it more slowly, like wandering the halls of an old, haunted castle. Amnon's sin did not start the moment he touched Tamar. It started in his mind, in the quiet hours when he fed his desires instead of turning them over to God. How many today do the same, letting secret thoughts grow until they demand action? The palace had every luxury, yet it could not stop the darkness inside the heart. Tamar's suffering feels especially heavy. She did everything right in that horrible moment. She spoke truth, she resisted, and still evil won the hour. Her cry afterward is one of the most heartbreaking in Scripture, "Where will I carry my shame?" In a world that often blames the victim or tells them to stay silent, her story stands as a witness. God sees. God cares about the violated and the broken. Jesus, who is himself betrayed and stripped and wounded, understands shame and carries it for us. Absalom's path shows another danger. Revenge feels like justice when you are hurting, but it only adds more blood to the floor. He let bitterness take root for years. Instead of seeking God's way, he chose the sword. In the end, he lost his own life in rebellion against his father. The cycle of pain kept turning. What does this mean for us as Christians walking in a broken world? It means we cannot pretend families are perfect, even royal ones chosen by God. David was a man after God's own heart, yet his household carried deep wounds. Sin always brings dysfunction. It ruins trust, shatters innocence, and leaves empty thrones where love should sit. Yet the gospel breaks into this Gothic darkness with surprising light. Where Amnon chose lust, Jesus offers pure love. Where Tamar carried shame, Jesus offers to exchange it for honor. Where Absalom chose revenge, Jesus chose forgiveness from the cross. The same God who watched this family's collapse is the one who sent his son to redeem every broken story. We see themes that feel timeless. Power misused. Beauty objectified. Silence after trauma. The slow poison of bitterness. These are not just ancient problems. They echo in our own time, in families, churches, and communities. The answer is not to hide them but to bring them into the light of Christ. As we sit with this story, let the Gothic atmosphere remind us how serious sin is. The palace walls may have been beautiful, but they hid horror. Our own lives can look fine on the outside while inside there is turmoil. The good news is that no shadow is too deep for God's mercy. No violation is beyond His healing. No revenge is stronger than His justice and grace. David eventually allowed Absalom to return, but the relationship was never fully healed. That partial restoration points us to the complete restoration we find only in Jesus. He does not leave us in our dysfunction. He calls us out of it, forgives us, and begins to make all things new. In the end, this chapter in David's family is not the final word. It is a warning and an invitation. A warning to guard our hearts, protect the vulnerable, confront sin early, and reject bitterness. An invitation to run to the cross where every Amnon, every Tamar, and every Absalom can find hope. The throne of David eventually led to the throne of Christ, the true King whose kingdom is built on righteousness and peace. In His family, the church, there is room for the wounded and the repentant. There is healing for those who have been Tamar, grace for those who have acted like Amnon, and forgiveness for those who have chosen Absalom's path. May this old story stir us to live differently. To love purely. To speak up for the hurting. To choose mercy over revenge. And to trust that even in the darkest palace corridors, the light of Christ still shines.